Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرض.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity. Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio. The program's To My Brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, dear friends, we find that the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam is, of course, truly universal. Now, why is it said that his personality is universal and that his persona, his character, his behavior, his actions, his way of living is all truly universal? Well, the reason that it is universal is because Imam Ali alayhi salam, peace and blessings upon him, is the manifestation of the teachings and the tenets and the laws and the rules and the regulations and the morals and the ethics of Islam. And so because he is this physical manifestation of all of the teachings of the divine religion of Islam, and he is a manifestation of the teachings of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and of course he is the manifestation of the teachings of the Holy Quran, so thus we find that just as the Holy Quran and the teachings of Islam are universal, for all time, for all places, for all people, thus the manifestation of those teachings would likewise also be universal to related to all times and all places and all people. It's interesting, but throughout history we find, especially during the Umayyad caliphates, and even the caliphs, for example, the first caliph or the second caliph or the third caliph, in general, we find that for some reason, Imam Ali alayhi salam was not allowed to come to the forefront. Now, of course, as the 12er Shias believe, of course, Imam Ali alayhi salam was the divinely appointed leader and he was the rightful successor to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. But we see that the passage of time, and unfortunately there are agents who did not take this command of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, seriously, and so they sidelined Imam Ali alayhi salam. But during the time of Muawiyah, who was the governor of Syria, who had been appointed by the third caliph Uthman and had been formally removed from office by the fourth caliph, Imam Ali alayhi salam,
he began to do things that had not been done before, namely slandering and cursing and defaming the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, from the pulpits which were under his control all over the area for which he was governor. And so over time, there was this very severe hatred for Imam Ali alayhi salam in the hearts of a lot of the people who lived in the area of the Levant of that time. Of course, it was not just limited to Syria. It was a very large area which would encompass approximately, you know, much of Turkey and northern Iraq, for example, and of course, Syria and Lebanon and Palestine and Jordan, and all the way up to close to the Roman Empire, the Byzantium Empire of that time. So this is a very large region in which the hatred of Imam Ali is being pumped into the hearts by leaders such as Muawiyah. And so then we understand why it was that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, emphasized so many of the great qualities of Imam Ali alayhi salam. In one place, talking to Abu Dhar al-Ghaffari, one of the faithful and loyal companions of the Messenger of Allah and Imam Ali alayhi salam, peace and blessings upon them both, the Messenger of Allah said that Ali is the gate of my knowledge and guidance, which is opened to its devotees. Ali will express to my ummah what I have been commissioned to convey. And so a very beautiful tradition here that we find, of course, regarding the importance of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and of course, regarding this universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And of course, one of the integral things here that the Messenger of Allah is saying is one that that Imam Ali is the gate of knowledge. And of course, one of the universal aspects of the persona of the first divinely appointed Imam is his vast treasure trove of knowledge and wisdom regarding the Holy Quran and the traditions of the Messenger of Allah. And of course, the Messenger of Allah, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessings upon him, also says how Imam Ali is a guidance for all those who are his devotees, who believe in him, of course, who have faith in him, and who are devoted to him. And finally, how the Messenger of Allah very beautifully says that it is Imam Ali alayhi salam who will express to the ummah what I have been commissioned to convey. And so we find that even historically, during the caliphate of the first three caliphs of the Muslim world, on countless multiple occasions, we find that they would go and they would seek advice from Imam Ali alayhi salam, because they did not know the answers to many of the issues that were going on in the society and in the Muslim world. And of course, we find that it is truly Imam Ali alayhi salam who has expressed and explained and expounded upon those things which the Messenger of Allah had conveyed. A very beautiful and profound discussion brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRab English Radio, the program To My Brother. This moment, I invite you to listen to the Arabic text of Ziyara Aminullah along with the English translation. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرضه وحجته على عباده السلام عليك يا أمير
المؤمنين. Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah to administer His earth and to convince the mankind to accept his plan. Peace be upon you, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. I testify that you made utmost efforts, as it should be, in the cause of Allah, acted upon his book, followed the way of life of his Prophet, blessings of Allah be on him and his children, to the last moment of your life, until Allah invited you to come unto him and used his discretion to take you away and sealed your enemy's doom with the blame that the arguments had been made known to one and all through you. O Allah, let me be happy and satisfied with that which thou considers good for me. Let me agree with that which thou decides for me. Let me passionately remember thee and invoke thee. Let me be in love with thy pure and sincere friends. Let me be well liked and respected on the earth and in the heavens. Let me be unruffled and well composed in the midst of misfortunes. Let me be gratefully thankful in prosperity. Let me be mindful of much and more bounties. Let me ardently desire for the heart-warming meeting with thee, well-equipped with piety to gain my end on the day of requital. Let me follow into the footsteps of thy representatives. Let me disassociate myself from the mannerism of thy enemies. Let me pass my time in this world by praising and glorifying thee.
Now we invite you to listen to Brother Khalil Jaafar.
Most of the fada'il, most of the excellences in the ahadith that we have with her regard in our books, they are also to be found at times even more abundantly and copiously in the books of the Ahlus Sunnah. So from Bukhari to Muslim to Tirmidhi to Nasa'i, when you come to Tafsir, Zamakhshari, Fakhruddin Razi, Tha'labi, Suyuti, two of the most common narrations that you will find, one is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says Fatima is Sayyidatun Nisa, that she is the leader of all the women of all times in the universe. This is widely quoted by Shia and Sunni scholars. The other very common narration that you will find quoted by Shia and Sunnis is again the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, and his family, that says that the most excellent women of all ever created by Allah are four: Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, Maryam, the mother of Isa alayhi salam, and then Khadija bint Khuwaylid, the first and most beloved wife of the Prophet himself, and of course Fatima al-Zahra, Sayyidatun Nisa' al-Alamin. And this again is very widely quoted. In fact, in particular, there are certain verses of Quran you will find this being argued very strongly by the non-Shias. Just as an example, in Surah Al-Imran, verse 42, Allah praises the mother of Isa alayhi salam, Maryam. And he says that Allah sent the angels to Maryam to say, Ya Maryam, inna Allah astafaki wa taharaki wa astafaki ala nisa' al-Alamin. O Maryam, Allah has chosen you and purified you and chosen you above the women of all the world. The Mufassirun, not the Shias, the non-Shias have made a point to argue that Maryam was Sayyidatun Nisa' al-Alamin only for her time, and even in that she was not more excellent than Fatima. This is not the Shias arguing. Then of course, Quran, when we talk of the ayat of Tathir, we talk of the ayat of Mubahala, we talk of Surah Al-Dahar, overflowing with the fada'il of this great lady. Then we come to the hadith of the Prophet himself and the narrations in history in how he treated her different from how a father would treat his daughter. It was more than just love for a daughter. For example, when a daughter enters the room, the father does not stand up in respect for his daughter. The daughter should stand up in respect for the father. But the Prophet, peace be on him and his family, would stand up to receive this daughter of his and kiss her hands and make her sit beside him. And then Fatima tu bid'atum minni, Fatima is a piece of me. Man adaha fakad adani, whoever hurts Fatima hurts me. Whoever angers Fatima, angers Allah. And then the hadith of the Prophet, the Imams after me are 12, and they will all come through Fatima. And then the hadith of the Prophet, the Mahdi is from my descendants, his name shall be my name, and he shall be from the descendants of Fatima, alayhi salam. These are all common ahadith mentioned by Shia and Sunni scholars. Now, when we establish this as a premise, when we establish this as a basis, and when we bring this to the forefront of our thought, that this lady is not an ordinary lady. She is exceptional in the history of the world. That when Allah Azza wa Jal wishes to introduce His own Prophet, He introduces him through her. He says, "Hum Fatima wa abuha wa ba'luha wa banuha."
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.